Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, we'll learn a marvelous truth that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us so.
Now, in theological terms, those phrases about God's foreknowledge and God's predestination and God's calling and God's justifying and God's glorifying, that's called the Ordo Salutis. That's Latin for order of salvation. It's the five links in the chain of salvation. And that chain can never be broken. And that's what Paul is saying.
There is truth, there is truth, there is love.
In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul gives a definitive answer to the question, can a person lose his or her salvation? The answer is no. At your worst, as a believer, you still belong to Him. No matter what you face as a true believer in Christ, you will overcome through Him. Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who today will help us discover how we can rest in that truth and learn to love God deeper and deeper as His never-let-go promise sinks in. The message today is entitled, Questions and Answers. It's the last in the six-message series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. It's also our thank you gift for your support this month of any amount to From His Heart. For more information, go to fromhisheart.org. Right now, open your Bible to the book of Romans, considered the greatest book in the Bible, and chapter 8, the greatest chapter of the greatest book. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to answer questions with divine answers.
You ever felt like you were losing your salvation? You know, we have lots of well-meaning Christians who believe and who teach that a person can lose his or her salvation. Now, in Romans chapter 8, Paul gives a definitive answer to that question. Can a person lose his salvation? And the definitive answer is no. Find someone in the Bible who lost his salvation and then was saved again. You're not going to find it, because you are saved once, and when you are truly saved once, you are saved forever. Judas didn't lose his salvation. Judas never had it. Jesus said, did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. And he was speaking of Judas Iscariot. Judas didn't lose his salvation. He never had his salvation. So good, proper understanding of Scripture lets us know beyond any shadow of any doubt that once you are truly saved through repentance and faith, you can never, no, never, no, never, ever, ever lose it. That is good news. So, we talked about that passage of Scripture that's so powerful, Romans 8, 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Now, in theological terms, those phrases about God's foreknowledge and God's predestination and God's calling and God's justifying and God's glorifying, that's called the Ordo Salutis. That's Latin for order of salvation. You know, I find it kind of funny with these theological guys. They love to throw out Latin. Why? I don't know, it makes them sound smarter or something like that. You know, if you throw that out in a conversation, well, I was reading about the Ordo Salutis. And people are like, wow, you must be smart, because I don't know what you're talking about. Well, it just means the order of salvation. And here is the Ordo Salutis. It's the five links in the chain of salvation, from God's foreknowledge, God sees into the future. He knows the end from the beginning, the scripture says. And so he sees everything. He knows before you were ever created, he knows everything about you. He knows every decision you will make. He doesn't make you make any decision. He just knows every decision you will make. And from God's foreknowledge, what does he do? He predestines. He sets everything up based on what he knows is going to happen. And from predestination, he calls us. And when he calls us, it's an effectual call. We respond to the call. We are justified. That's just as if we've never sinned. We receive Christ and we become his, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And whom he justified, he also glorified. That's the order of salvation. And that chain can never be broken. And that's what Paul is saying. And so he goes on with verse 31 and he asks the question, what then shall we say to these things? Now, it's very interesting in the book of Romans. I counted this up. Paul uses questions in the book of Romans 79 times. Now, it's a rhetorical device as he was writing. And he asks questions, and he's using them not so much to elicit answers. They're more rhetorical questions, and he's trying to teach through the question, here is the answer. And in Romans chapter 8, there are 8 questions. But beginning in verse 31 through the end, there are 7 questions, questions that he gives answers to and questions that he uses as the answer. And it answers the question in verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? What things? The ordo salutis, to the order of salvation. What do we say? Because can a person lose his or her salvation? Can you break the chain somewhere along the line? Now, if you'll notice, everything in the first part, foreknowledge, predestination, called justified. Okay, justified is when you become a Christian. That's when you give your heart to Christ. Boom, I am justified. And between justification and glorification, there is this thing that's omitted. It's called sanctification. That's living out the Christian life. That's when God works in you. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, for it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And sanctification, which is left out, is that peace that we call the Christian life. And it's in that peace we call the Christian life where Christians start to wonder, start to doubt, just like that new convert said to Watchman Nee, I'm struggling and I think maybe I have lost my salvation. So we're gonna get answers to that question. What then shall we say to these things? Is it possible to break the chain? And the answer is no, and Paul gives it in 4 definitive statements. Is anything or anyone able to break the chain of eternal salvation? No. And the first one who he brings up who could break the chain is God the Father. God the Father will not break the chain of salvation. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Now, God, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? And you could say, well, God, there's no way that God would ever break the chain, and he won't ever break the chain. And he reiterates here, I will never break the chain because I am for you. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, or it should be since, that's a better rendering of the Greek, since God is for us, who is against us? Well, if you have God on your side, it doesn't matter who might be against you because they're gonna lose. God is the all-time undefeated, undisputed heavyweight champion of the universe. And if he is for you, then no one can stand against you. I had a friend of mine in college, and when it came to this idea of since God is for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? He told me one day, he was a godly guy, but he really struggled with a particular sin that so many guys struggle with in relation to lust. And he wasn't doing very well. And he told me, he said, Jeff, I was reading in the book of Judges. He said, I feel like my life is Judges 2:15. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. And I said, you feel like that? He said, yeah, I just feel like that. I said, you need a new life verse than Judges 2:15. Wherever you go, the hand of the Lord is against you for evil. How about Romans 8:31? If God is for us, who is against us? I thought about that because it's easy to start getting in this trap where you feel like I'm not doing very well in the Christian life. God must be so disgusted with me. He must be so displeased with me. He's about ready to kick me out of the family. Well, God will never do that. He has said, I will never do that. I will never break the ordo salutis, the chain of salvation. He is for us. So who can stand against us? Now, the Old Testament equivalent to Romans 8:31 is Psalm 56, verse 9, where David said this, this I know that God is for me. Do you know that, that God is for you? You need to know that. You need to believe that and receive that, that God is for you. So that's Old Testament, Psalm 56, verse 9. The New Testament, Romans 8:31. If God is for us, since God is for us, who is against us? And the proof that God is for us is in verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? How do we know that God is for us? Because you look at the cross and you know that God is for us because he gave his son for us. Student was in seminary class, and he asked the professor after class, he said, professor, he said, do you believe that there is life on other planets? That there's some kind of extraterrestrials? Do you believe there's life on other planets? The professor said, no, I don't think so. And he said, well, then why did God go to all the trouble to make all those other planets? The professor said, what trouble? Day four, he spoke and it was done. He just created it all through the power of his word. Listen, when you think of trouble and God, the only time God knew trouble was when his son was taking on the sin of the whole world. Jesus said to his disciples on the night in which he's betrayed, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here with me, watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then he went about a stone's throw from those guys and he fell down upon his face and he began to pray, my Father, if it be possible, Abba Father, Daddy Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And the pressure was so great and he was under such strain that the capillaries in his face broke and he began to sweat drops of blood. And silence from heaven said, my son, there is no other way. And Jesus went to the cross, willingly went to the cross. And when he was dying upon that cross at 3 o'clock, he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the father turned his back on his son, because his son bore the sin of the whole world upon himself. And God is too pure to look upon sin. He's too pure to have fellowship with sin. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Once that was accomplished on the cross, that was the only time God knew trouble. Any other issue in your life, any other situation in your life, any other need in your life is easily answered by God the Father. It's not a problem. God is able in that situation. You need this, you need that, you need the other, you need a job, you need a friend, you need this. He is able to meet all those needs and he can meet it easily because if he didn't spare his own son, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And remember this, when we talk about the sacrifice of Jesus, all of us in here who are parents, we know that we would much rather suffer ourselves than to see our child suffer. And for God to give his only son and spare not his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God to not spare him for your sake speaks volumes of the love of God. He is for us, so who can stand against us? And he has declared, secondly, that we are not guilty in Jesus Christ. Verse 33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Oh yeah, but Jeff did this, and Jeff did that, and Jeff did the other, and God the Father, look at this. Look at this sin. Look at that sin. Look at the other sin. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. God has wrapped his gavel. The moment that Jeff Shreve put his faith and trust in Jesus, and God saw this in eternity past in his foreknowledge, but the moment that Jeff Shreve put his faith and trust in Jesus, the Lord wrapped his gavel and said, not guilty. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. And so, is God the Father ever going to break the chain of salvation? No. He is for us, he gave his son for us, and he has ruled on our case, not guilty in Jesus Christ. So, say, okay, well, God the Father is not gonna break the chain, but what about God the Son? Maybe God the Son will break the chain. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, he could condemn. Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. He doesn't condemn us. And we have a beautiful picture in scripture, John chapter 8, where they catch a woman in the very act of adultery, and they bring her before Jesus, and they say, Moses told us to stone such a person. What do you say? And you remember what Jesus said to them? He was writing in the sand. We don't know what he was writing, but they were trying to bring the law to Jesus. The law was written with the finger of God, and here he is with his finger in the sand. He's showing them, I am God. You're trying to use the law against me. I wrote the law. And so he is writing in the sand, and he straightens up, and he said, let the one who is without sin among you cast the first stone. And so they all dropped their stones, and they all went out, beginning with the oldest to the youngest, because they were very aware of their sinfulness. And then he stoops down on the ground again, and he straightens back up, and he says to the woman, where are all your accusers? Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. Now think about this. Let him who is without sin among you cast the first stone. Who was there in that area that day who didn't have any sin? Jesus. Who could have condemned her rightfully? Jesus. Who didn't condemn her? Jesus. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So when it says in verse 33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus doesn't condemn us. He died to save us. Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised. That's the gospel. He died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He died. Yes, he was raised. He sits at the right hand of God. He has been accepted. His offering has been accepted. And what does he do? He also intercedes for us. He is constantly praying for you and for me. And so the one who could condemn us says, hey, not only do I not condemn you, but I died for you on the cross. I rose again from the dead. I'm seated at the right hand of God. And what am I doing at the right hand of God? Interceding for you. It says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, he ever lives to make intercession for those who are sanctified. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, I'm writing to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Jesus is praying for you and for me as those who belong to Christ. So he's not gonna condemn us. He said, no way would I ever do that. I died for them, and I'm praying for them, and I'm pleading for them, and I'm interceding for them. I'm their lawyer. I'm their advocate. So God the Father, not going to break the chain. God the Son, not going to break the chain. You say, oh, well, wait a minute. What about the devil? What about the devil and his demonic horde? What? Maybe he is going to be the one to break the chain. What does he say? Well, he asks the question, Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Well, the devil likes to bring charges against us. The devil is called, the word devil, diabolos in the Greek, means a false accuser. Revelation 12:11 says that the devil accuses us before God day and night. He's a false accuser, but listen, he doesn't have to be false. He can tell God the things that you did yesterday, the day before that. He knows what you did last week, last month, last summer. He knows all that stuff. And he can tell God, well, look what you say this is your child. Look what your child did. And he doesn't have to make it up. He just has to tell, this is what I saw. This is what my minion saw this person doing. And he can bring that charge against God's elect. And what does God say? God looks at the son and the son says, yes, Father, and I died for that sin. And my blood washes that white as snow. And the father has ruled not guilty. Amen. Not guilty. And so here is the devil. He comes against us. But the devil and bad circumstances cannot break the chain. They can't break the chain of salvation. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Well, then it goes on to list a bunch of what's. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Now the who, that's the question. Well, who's going to separate us? But it answers the who with a what. And I think the who, it's just kind of embedded in there that it's the enemy of our souls. The devil is the who, and the devil uses the what? Tribulation. And distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and sword. He uses all those things.
What a marvelous truth to know that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us so. Today you've been listening to part one of the message, Questions and Answers, discussing the five links in the chain of salvation that can never be broken according to God's holy word. You'll not want to miss part two, as he'll continue to describe how the devil and bad circumstances can't break the chain of salvation and more. That's next time. But the lesson we're in today is the last lesson in the six-message series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. And if you missed any of these, you'll want to get this brand new resource. You see, the book of Romans has been described as the greatest book in the Bible, and chapter 8 is considered to be the greatest chapter in the greatest book of the Bible. Romans 8 is a chapter filled with hope, encouragement, and strength to keep fighting the good fight of faith. We believe Pastor Jeff's new series about this great chapter of Romans will be a wonderful blessing to your Christian faith, especially if your circumstances are difficult right now. Hey, we are more than conquerors through Christ. We are God's children, and we're safe and secure in His love. This series is our special thank you gift for your support from His Heart this month of any amount, and you can get it on a USB flash drive, digital download, CDs, or DVDs, your choice. So, thank you for what you can do to help us sustain and grow this outreach, now in our 20th year of broadcasting the good news. Call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org to make your gift when you request the new series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be right back here for the conclusion to this last message in the More Than Conquerors series called Questions and Answers. Join us next time, when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open up God's Word and will share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.